Let's read from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. For those less familiar with the story, let's turn back to Genesis chapter 4 and read verses 1 to 16. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later she gave birth to his son, his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favour on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favour. So Cain was angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. We'll end the reading of God's word there this morning. Better. It's a word that we love or hate depending on which side of better we fall. You enter a competition by writing an advertising slogan for something that you really want. And though there are lots of good entries, yours is better. And you win. How good you feel about yourself. You're trying to break into a sports team, but the other person who plays in your position is better. So you sit on the bench, hoping they get injured, so you get to come on and play. The word better is perhaps nowhere more intense than in the rivalry among siblings. Parents are asked to judge whose drawing is better, whose singing is better, whose school report is better, who is faster, who is taller. The competition can be intense. And a continuant can continue into adult life as we measure ourselves against our siblings, our jobs, our earnings, our homes, our families. Who is better? Well, it can seem as though the same thing is happening in this story. There are two brothers who each bring their offerings to God, and God declares one to be better than the other. The other is filled with anger and jealousy, murdering the brother who was better than him. But this was not a competition to see whose offering was better. It was better in the sense that one was good and one was bad. One did what was right, and one did what was not right. We see that clearly here as the whole story is summed up in just one verse, and the real issue is that of faith. We see first of all what faith brings, a better sacrifice. We read, "By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did." What makes Abel's sacrifice better is that it was motivated by faith. Faith is what makes all the difference. We will see in this chapter of Hebrews 11 that the actions of all of those listed here begin with the words "by faith." They did what they did because of their faith. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Rahab, and all of the others did what they did by faith. They were all focused on God and his promises. Was Abel better than Abraham? Jacob better than Rahab? Noah better than Moses? God does not declare any of them better than the other, because they all did what they did by faith. And on that basis, they were all commended by God. The only reason that Abel's sacrifice was better than Cain's sacrifice was because Abel's was offered by faith and Cain's was not. You see, Abel's faith in God affects the kind of sacrifice that he brings. Richard Phillips simply observes that the offerings were different. And in that difference, we see the faith of one and the unbelief of the other. The faith of one and the unbelief of the other resulted in the kind of sacrifice that each of them brought. It wasn't simply that Abel kept flocks and therefore brought livestock, while Cain worked the soil and therefore brought fruit and vegetables. God was not approving or disapproving of their career choices. Rather, the offerings of each man revealed the hearts of each man. Cain's sacrifice recognizes God as creator. Cain recognizes that God exists. He recognizes that God is the creator. He recognizes that God is the sustainer of all things. He recognizes that God is the provider. God has provided the ground in which his crops grow. God has provided the climate in which his crops grow. And in his offering, Cain recognizes God as creator. He gives to God because God has given to him. And who knows? Perhaps if he does not give his offering to God, God may withhold the harvest that he is hoping to receive. Cain is one of those people who love our harvest Thanksgiving service. He loves to see the fruit and vegetables. He loves to see the produce of the ground. He's happy to sing the songs giving thanks for all God has given. He loves the harvest Thanksgiving service until the preacher starts to mention the cross and sin and judgment and our need of God's grace, as though what he does for God and what he gives to God is not enough to make him right with God. You see, Cain's sacrifice recognizes God as creator, but not redeemer. It's significant that Abel's sacrifice involves the shedding of blood, the taking of life, while Cain's does not. And especially in this letter to the Hebrews. In this letter, there is great focus on the blood of Jesus, the sacrificial lamb who dies in the place of sinners. So much so that at one point, it makes clear, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That's Hebrews 9, verse 22. The offering of an animal, the shedding of its blood, meant the worshipper recognized their sin, that they deserved death, and if they were to live, something needed to die in their place. And all of those sacrifices were pointing forward to Jesus, the sacrificial lamb who could take away the sins of the world. To enjoy the forgiveness of sins and to be right with God, we need to recognize God not only as creator, but also as redeemer. And isn't that the offense of the gospel? That God rejects some people and accepts others. Writing in the 17th century, John Owen says, "Many have no greater quarrel at religion than that God had respect unto Abel and his offering, and not to Cain and his." Isn't that the offence of the gospel? Why should God accept you and not me? I've lived a good life, I go to church, I give to charity. How dare you suggest God would reject me? What makes you better than me? But there is an exclusivity to the good news of Jesus. It's only for those who recognize Jesus as their Redeemer and who trust in him alone to save them from the death that they deserve. Many people are happy to recognize God as Creator, as the God to whom something is due, but not Redeemer. That requires acknowledging that there is something wrong with me, something that I cannot put right, something that God needs to do for me. And it requires submitting to God and his ways by faith. We also see what faith produces, a righteous man. We read, by faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. Suppose you go to someone's house for dinner. you're served a really delicious meal. What do you say? You say that was incredible. When you speak well of the meal, you are commending the person who made the meal. You are drawing attention to the ability of the person to cook and present such a fine meal. It was pointed out to me just yesterday that I was doing the very same thing. We'd had a barbecue, and as I sat down to eat, I said, "These are lovely burgers." And one of our family members pointed out to me that I was simply commending myself. But that's what we do when we speak well of the meal. We are speaking well of the person. Another person could take the same ingredients and produce a very different meal, a lesser meal. When you speak well of the meal, you're commending the cook. The same thing is happening here. When God speaks well of Abel's offerings, he is commending Abel himself. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. The offering was right because Abel was right. The offering came from the heart of a righteous man. And he was a righteous man because his faith was focused on the Lord. Abel's actions reveal something about Abel himself. Now, what is interesting in this story is that Cain and Abel are independent of their parents. In the Genesis account, we're simply told that Adam and Eve had these two sons, that one kept flocks and that one worked the ground. And then in the course of time, chapter 4, verse 3, they each brought offerings to the Lord. In other words, the time came when they were independent of their parents. Until then, it seems, their parents would have brought offerings to the Lord on behalf of the whole family. They worshipped the Lord together. That was normal. Adam stood at the door with keys in hand, shouting to Eve and the kids, "Hurry up! We should be gone already! We're going to be late again!" They worshipped the Lord together. But there came a time when Cain and Abel would no longer share in the offerings of their parents. They became independent of their parents, and they brought their offerings to the Lord. Now I want to speak directly to those of you who are in secondary school or just finishing secondary school. There's a sense in which your worship has been your family's worship. You come to church because your parents bring you to church. But a day will come when you will be independent of your parents. And what will happen then? Your offerings have been your family's offerings. Perhaps you've been taught to give something in the offering, a portion of your pocket money, what your parents have already given you. But a day will come when you are independent of your parents. What will happen when you start to earn your own money? You've helped at creche or junior church, perhaps at the encouragement of your parents, or because it was a clever way of avoiding the sermon. But one day you will be independent of your parents. What will happen then? That's what is happening here. Cain and Abel are no longer dependent upon their parents. They have become independent. They are now free to make their own choices. When we're independent of parents, no longer living in their homes, no longer under their supervision, free to live as we want and do as we please, our hearts are revealed. We begin to see if there was more to our worship than our family's worship, if this faith is my faith, or if it was only that of my parents. Is this a faith that gets me out of bed on a Sunday morning? Is this a faith that causes me to give out of the money that I've earned? Is this a faith that motivates me to serve in the life of the church? This story reveals that Cain's faith was only his parents' faith. Faith was the difference. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. Faith made all the difference. In Abel, faith produced a righteous man. A man in right standing with God who wanted to please God and to worship God in God's way. His offering revealed the reality of his heart. And in just the same way, Cain's actions revealed the reality of his heart. The Apostle John gave this warning, 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Well, what actions were evil? The Apostle John is not talking about the murder of his brother Abel. He is talking about the offering that Cain brought. What was so evil about it? His actions revealed the rebelliousness of his heart. His actions revealed that he belonged to the evil one and that he did not want to worship God in God's way. Both Abel's actions and Cain's actions are the overflow of their hearts. The one, righteous, submitting to God and trusting God. The other, rebellious, refusing to submit to God and his ways. It's so important to know that this faith is our faith, not just that of our parents, not just what we've been brought up to believe, but that we believe it for ourselves. Because the time will come when we will be independent of parents and our hearts will be revealed for what they really are. Finally, we see what faith leaves, an enduring voice. We read, "And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead." The voice of Abel still speaks to us from the pages of Scripture. Abel's voice calls out to us that God's people will suffer. Abel was murdered by his brother for no other reason than that he trusted God and worshipped God as God wanted to be worshipped. The Lord had warned Adam and Eve that there was going to be enmity between the offspring of the woman and the offspring of the serpent, that is the devil. And what we see in Genesis 4 is the first strike of the devil against the offspring of the woman. But it was not the last strike of the devil or the end of that hostility. It was only the beginning, and it was a battle that would continue until the serpent was crushed. Therefore, we shouldn't be surprised when we suffer for our faith in Jesus. On Wednesday night, we saw in Psalm 2 that the rulers of this world oppose the Lord and his anointed king. It pointed forward to the conspiracy to put Jesus to death. But Jesus warned that the world would hate his followers because it hated him first. There are parts of the world where faith in Jesus could cost you your life. But for us, it will more likely be misunderstanding, ridicule, isolation, or pressure to conform. But whatever form it takes, it should not come as a surprise. There will be hostility between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent until the serpent, the devil, is crushed. Abel's voice calls out to us that God's judgment is certain. Cain did not go unpunished. The Lord said that Abel's blood called out to him from the ground. It was the cry for justice, that wrongs must be put right, that the wicked must not get away with their evil schemes, that those who cause others harm must be held to account, and Cain could face God's judgment for the murder of his brother Abel. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he warned the religious leaders who had silenced the prophets of God, putting them to death, that all the righteous blood that had been shed on the earth from Abel to Zechariah, from the beginning of the Old Testament scripture to the very end, would be held against them. Calling them a brood of vipers, Jesus suggests that their actions find their origin in the will of the serpent, the devil. Their rejection of the prophets, Jesus and the apostles, is more of the hostility between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. The blood of the martyrs cries out from the ground, requiring that God will bring about justice, crushing the head of the serpent and destroying all that is evil. And Abel's voice calls out to us that God's Son is the only Saviour. Abel understood that his sins deserve death, and that a sacrifice was needed in his place. And all of those sacrifices pointed forward to the only sacrifice that could ultimately deal with our sins, the sacrifice of God's own Son. And the writer of this letter, the letter to the Hebrews, describes the blood of Jesus as sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Hebrews 12, verse 24. You see, Abel's shed blood called out from the ground for justice, that God would bring judgment on the sinner. But the sprinkled blood of Jesus is a sacrifice that calls out for mercy, And the sprinkled blood of Jesus calls out for mercy because Jesus has already taken the judgment that sin deserved, dying in the place of sinners, so that forgiveness could be extended to those who come to him simply by faith. Let's pray together.